This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The Monitor Conservation Research Society, or Monitor for short, is a non-profit organization that works to end illegal and unsustainable wildlife trade. Joining me on the line from Canada today is Dr. Chris Shepherd, the founder of Monitor, to further elaborate on the work that they do, which includes research into often overlooked and lesser-known species that are also traded illegally. Hi, Chris. How are you today?
I'm good. Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. So you are joining us all the way from Canada. And I think just for anyone who has forgotten, Chris, you used to be part of Traffic in Southeast Asia, but now you have started something called Monitor, the Monitor Conservation Research Society. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right. I was with Traffic for about 20 years. And then I left. I've set up Monitor. It's a small organization. We are focused on the illegal and unsustainable trade in wildlife, with a focus really on species that others aren't looking at or few people are looking at, issues that are little known issues, and also on places where others aren't working.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of these lesser known illegally traded species that you tend to focus on?
Well, sadly, most species that are heavily impacted by trade are the lesser known species. There's a huge number of reptiles, such as the Union Island gecko, the Tokay gecko. There's a number of amphibian species, small mammals, and a lot of birds that are really heavily traded. And many of them are threatened due to this trade, but very few people, if any, are working on these.
And am I correct in saying that thousands of these species, they aren't included in CITES? CITES is, of course, the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora. So am I correct in saying that, you know, these aren't listed under CITES?
That's right. There's a lot of species that aren't listed under CITES. The majority of songbirds, for example, are not listed in any of the appendices of CITES.
Mm-hmm. How are plants and animals actually added to the CITES list?
Well, there's a through monitoring trade, through analyses of trade records, often species that are heavily impacted by trade are detected that way. Research is done, evidence is collected to show that international trade is having a negative effect on the conservation of the species, or potentially could in the near future. From there, CITES parties, countries, some of the 180 plus countries that are part of CITES, develop a proposal to list the species in an appendix of CITES. From there, it goes to the conference of the parties every 2.5 or 3 years. And there it's voted on whether or not the species should in fact be included or not. Mm-hmm. It's quite a lengthy process. It's very difficult. There is Appendix 3, which can be used by countries at any time. They can just list a species protected in their country in the appendices of CITES to gain international collaboration and cooperation in protecting it. Appendix 1 and 2, which Appendix 1 prohibits trade, Appendix 2 regulates trade. Those ones have to require a vote from the Conference of the Parties.
Okay, so what is the impact of this then? Let's say that a lot of animals aren't listed under CITES. So, you know, when illegal trade happens, for example, does this mean that most countries, like their customs agencies, for example, they don't look out for these species, they will only look out for CITES-listed species, for example?
Generally, yeah. So species, live wildlife still should be checked by health and quarantine. Customs still checks imports and exports. Mm-hmm. But without CITES, there isn't a mechanism for countries to work together to regulate the trade. Mm. And there isn't a mechanism for countries trying to protect the trade or limit the trade to obtain that help from the other parties.
Mm-hmm. So that's a big problem right there. Right? And we're talking about like thousands and upon thousands like daily being traded illegally. Am I correct?
That's right. Illegally or much illegal, but perhaps shouldn't be or shouldn't be in those quantities. A lot of the legal trade is unsustainable. And that's, again, where CITES plays an important role. By listing a species in CITES, all of the import and export of those species must be recorded in the CITES trade database. Mm-hmm. And from there, you can analyze these data. You can monitor trends. And it should function a little bit as an early warning system when species are starting to decline. That should be detected from the data, and regulations can be altered accordingly.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for these species, these lesser known species, you know, when they're disappearances are maybe they're going largely unnoticed because of this lack of awareness about them, or this lack of like importance placed on them, you know, because they're not quite the iconic species like the tigers and the elephants and all of that.
That's exactly it. They're not high profile species. In fact, most of the species that are threatened by trade are ones that few people have ever heard of.
Mm. And, you know, what is the impact of that on biodiversity?
Well, it means these species can be wiped out without anyone noticing. Or what happens very often is the fact that they've almost disappeared completely is noticed so late in the game that as soon as it is noticed, it becomes an emergency. There's no opportunity to regulate trade. There's no opportunity for sustainable trade, which is desired for some countries. There's no, it just becomes an urgent rush to save them from slipping completely over the edge. By having them on CITES, you would detect these declines much earlier in the game.
So, I mean, how does Monitor come into all of this? I mean, this is one of the things that you are working on. This is one of the things that you are advocating for. How do you guys play a part in raising the awareness on, you know, these lesser known species?
Well, I guess we're approaching this from three directions. One, we're doing the main work we do is research. We're looking at trade figures. We're doing market surveys, physical and online market surveys, to see what is in trade, to look at the legality of that trade. Just because something's in trade doesn't legally traded in one country doesn't mean it wasn't illegally sourced in another. So we're tracing these trade chains back to the point of origin to determine whether or not it was even sourced. And then we're analyzing this data, and we publish a lot of peer-reviewed papers, evidence-based papers that we hope will influence policy or influence regulation in the future. Mm-hmm. We also are increasingly trying to get our findings out there to the right target audiences, whether it's the general public as consumers, whether it's CITES parties, whether it's enforcement agencies. We want to make them aware of our findings, obviously. And thirdly, we are providing information as and when we can in a timely manner to enforcement agencies. If we come across or are alerted to illegal trade activity, we inform the relevant agencies in the target countries and hope that they take action.
I'm speaking today to Dr. Chris Shepherd. He is the founder of the Monitor Conservation Research Society, or Monitor for short. And we are finding out more about the work that the organization does, which includes research into often overlooked and lesser known species that are also traded illegally. And we'll continue that discussion after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line from Canada today is Dr. Chris Shepherd. He is the founder of the Monitor Conservation Research Society, or Monitor for short. And earlier we were discussing lesser known species which are traded illegally, but now I want to shift our focus to a little bit to bears, the illegal trade of bear parts, which is another area of focus for you guys at Monitor. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, bears are one of our main focal areas. Bears aren't a little known species. Everybody knows about bears, but few people know the threats that bears face and just how severe these threats are. There's eight species in the world of bear. All of them are threatened to some degree in some places by illegal or unsustainable trade, especially those in Asia. In Southeast Asia, there's two species, the Asiatic black bear and the sun bear. Both of these are under growing and severe threat due to commercial trade in their parts, especially the gallbladder, the bile in the gallbladder, and their paws. Mm-hmm. So the paws are used as sort of a luxury dish. The bile and the gallbladder are used in as ingredients in traditional medicines. So it's largely these two demands, the luxury food industry, if you want, and the traditional medicine industry, that are driving the over-exploitation and the illegal trade in Southeast Asia's bears.
Mm, and I think it was Traffic actually that did a study where, you know, most of the traditional Chinese medicine shops, they were selling bear products or bear parts.
That's right. Surveys carried out when I was with Traffic identified a number of countries in Southeast Asia that had widespread open trade, regardless of the law. Mm-hmm. Malaysia was one of the most significant countries in these studies. We found that the trade in products contained bear bile was widespread across Peninsula Malaysia and in Sabah and Sarawak, as was the trade in raw parts such as gallbladders, which was more prevalent in Sabah and Sarawak. Mm. So since then, Monitor is now working with organizations like Traffic and with others to follow up on original findings, and progress has been made looking at how the trends have progressed since then. We're now looking at trade in a number of places in Southeast Asia, Sumatra especially, Peninsula Malaysia, Sabah and Sarawak, Myanmar, Laos, and even in South Asia. We're looking at the trade in India right now. We're assessing the current status of the trade, availability of bear bile products in markets. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the increase in trade in bear products online. And that also includes live bears online. There is sort of a continual trade in bear cubs in some countries that are sold for pets. So we're looking at that as well.
And who are the actors, like, just talking about bear parts for medicine, you know, who are the actors along the trade chain of this whole, I suppose, operation, if you want to call it that?
Well, if you start at the source end, you have poachers, whether they're people poaching for subsistence money or they're commercial poachers that do this as a living, mm-hmm. Or they're people just going out and trying to make some money on the side who enjoy hunting, whether the species are illegal or not. I suspect a lot of the bear poaching is people living near or around the forests who are catching bears in snares opportunistically. I don't know if they're always necessarily targeting bears, mm-hmm. But we do know there is some targeted poaching and selling whatever they catch in the snares to people who are sort of the next rung up on the trade ladder, if you want. These are generally middlemen who come around to the different villages and buy up the products that they've got, whether it's bear or you know, civets or deer or whatever they're trapping. Mm-hmm. Bear parts are then, if it's the paws, they're sold to restaurants, generally Chinese restaurants, selling the bear paws. The gallbladder is usually sold to traditional Chinese medicine retailers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. or practitioners, mm-hmm. And is then, you know, sold on to the customers. And bear cubs, which are either trapped deliberately or caught opportunistically, are usually sold online to people looking for exotic pets. Often bear cubs are caught by people working in plantations or logging, or people working for logging companies, people who are out in the forest and have an opportunity to catch these animals.
Okay. All right. And I know there's also bear farms where gallbladder, where they actually trap the bears and just use them for extraction purposes, and they're kept in very poor conditions. Is that a problem in Malaysia, or is that or around Southeast Asia as well?
It's not a problem in Malaysia directly. There isn't any bear farms in Malaysia, mm-hmm. at least none that have ever been detected. However, there is bile products, bear bile products for sale in Malaysia that have been manufactured from bear farms elsewhere, perhaps in Vietnam or mainland China. Mm-hmm. So Malaysia is a consumer of products from bear bile farms. In Southeast Asia, there are farms in Laos, in Myanmar, in Vietnam. They're called bear farms, but as you pointed out, they're not farming bears. They are taking bears from the wild illegally, mm-hmm. Putting them in small cages where they have pipes inserted into the gallbladder and the bile is drained out. And this goes on for years. Unfortunately for the bears in this case, they live a long time in these conditions, suffering in these cages and having the bile taken out of them. There's some great work done by other organizations in rescuing the bears and putting them in rescue centers and trying to shut these farms down, mm-hmm. from retailers, practitioners for the bear bile. There are farms continuing in some countries.
Is this a legal practice? I know China is one of the main sources, or about 60% of imported bear gallbladders into Malaysia, but is that a legal practice?
China, there are certain circumstances that allow the bear farms to produce bile for a local demand. Mm-hmm. The bear farms in Southeast Asia are not legal and are violating laws, but for one reason or another continue to exist. Laos has many of them, for example, and it was a few years ago the government of Laos committed to shutting them all down, but this is still hasn't happened. We're still waiting for that to happen. Both of Southeast Asia's bears, the Asiatic black bear and the sun bear, are listed in Appendix 1 of CITES, which means there can be no international trade of the bears or their parts or derivatives made from their parts. So moving Baribal medicines, or medicines even claiming to contain Baribal, from China or from Vietnam or from Laos into Malaysia is illegal.
But it does slip through the cracks. Is there a lack of cooperation between, you know, the different agencies that are involved?
I think collaboration between the various agencies can definitely always be improved and increased. It would be great to see the CITES management authorities, the wildlife departments of different countries like Malaysia, Laos, Vietnam, Myanmar, Thailand, Indonesia, coming together and focusing on eradicating the illegal trade in bear parts and really putting a focus on finding these bear parts that are being moved in and out of the countries and across borders and really cracking down on that. I think even more importantly is really monitoring all of the shops that continue to sell Baribal and taking strong action against those. Any shops selling Baribal in Malaysia should be a priority for the enforcement agencies, and they should be using the law to, you know, its full extent to end this trade.
I remember when we spoke about this Baribal trade back in 2015, a lot of the retailers downplayed the kind of the impact or the severity of the Baribal trade, you know, on the premise that bears were not always killed in the process of bile collection. But that is true, or is it not, that bears aren't killed?
Well, they're not killed if the bile is coming from bears in these bear farms. Mm-hmm. But it's still illegal. It doesn't matter whether it's come from a Baribal farm in Laos or a wild bear in Laos. It's a CITES I product, and as soon as it crosses the border out of Laos, it's illegal. And as soon as it enters Malaysia, it's violated the CITES legislation and is illegal under Malaysia's own national laws. So there's a lot less Baribal openly available in Malaysia now than there was a few years back. So things are moving in the right direction, but the trade persists. Some of it has gone underground, some of it has gone online. And this is what we need to keep pushing for, to track down that remaining trade, find out where it is, who's doing it, and work with the authorities to put an end to it. And it's absolutely essential that the public, the Malaysian public, get involved and become aware that, look, the trade in these products is illegal. It's not from a legal source, because there isn't a legal source. It's illegal. Mm-hmm. The trade is pushing bears towards extinction. People involved in buying and selling bear products, poaching bears, or even keeping bear cubs as pets are committing a criminal activity. And the public should get involved and report this to the authorities and help put an end to this illegal trade and ultimately help save bears.
But, you know, the problem, of course, is that traditional Chinese medicine is a strong part of Chinese culture and lifestyle. You know, it's passed down through the generation. So how can we kind of hope to balance the needs of the bears, of course, while, I suppose, respecting a community's cultural beliefs? I mean, do you think there's a middle ground that can be found?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of Chinese traditional medicine practitioners that are not selling Baribal. In fact, I would say the vast majority of them are not. They know it's illegal. They're aware that it's a driving force behind the decline in bears. And there is more than 50 legal herbal alternatives to Baribal that have equally effective properties. Mm. So what we ask of the traditional medicine community is that rather than prescribing medicines that contain Baribal, prescribe medicines that contain these legal, sustainable alternatives to Baribal.
Okay, all right. And we were talking about sun bears, of course, and, you know, they are, I think they're listed as vulnerable to extinction by the IUCN. Am I correct?
That's right, yeah. The sun bears are, and the Asiatic black bear, both listed as vulnerable.
Okay, and like you said, their numbers are dwindling, and, you know, they're still being used not only for medicine but also for the exotic pet trade. I don't know if you read in Malaysia recently, somebody in Kuala Lumpur was found with a sun bear living in her apartment. It's terrible.
Yeah, I did read that. Yeah, it's exactly. There's cases like that happening. People, often wealthy people or people that think that they are special and above the law somehow, mm-hmm. are keeping bear cubs as pets. And, you know, it's sending the wrong message to people who somehow admire these people. It's sending the wrong message to the public in general that, you know, that it's okay to keep these animals as pets, or that it's cool to keep these animals as pets. And it's really not.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the trade is quite rampant on social media. And that's, I think, fueling the exotic pet trade even more than ever before. Am I correct?
Online trade is going through the roof. It's easy to do and it's hard to stop.
I mean, that is a huge challenge. And how can we even try to, you know, investigate these illegal wildlife trafficking that's happening online? You know, I mean, are we seeing increased efforts to monitor trade that's happening online?
Yeah, there's a lot more monitoring going on. One of the problems, though, is a lot of countries don't have legislation to effectively deal with this trade. It perhaps is illegal to trade in the species, but it's not illegal to advertise them on online. Mm. So laws should be tightened up. It should be illegal to advertise protected wildlife. And of course, enforcement agencies should be putting more resources into monitoring the online trade, investigating the trade, and going after the people behind it.
But there are laws in place protecting species like the sun bear, for example. So, I mean, what sort of penalties are people looking at if they were to violate these laws?
It depends on the country. Some countries have very stiff penalties, high fines, mandatory jail sentences. It's important that countries put in place a minimum penalty. If there isn't a minimum penalty, then often the offenders are released without a penalty at all. So without a strict, a harsh deterrent, this trade isn't going to go away.
But okay, even if the authorities can't monitor, you know, we can monitor. We are on social media all the time. You know, what can people do, you know, to help stop this act, especially on social media?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that the public can do. Like you said, the people are online all the time. You're on social media all the time. You see things going on. When you do see wildlife for sale online, it's important that you report it. It's very important. Getting this information to the authorities in a timely manner, it's a way that the public can play a role. Malaysia, for example, has a wildlife crime hotline that can be called to report any wildlife trade. It's managed by MICAT for the Malaysian government and for the partners working together to stamp out the trade in tigers, but they're not focused just on tigers when it comes to the hotline. Mm-hmm. They will take calls regarding any wildlife that's being traded illegally.
Okay, so that's the wildlife crime hotline is one way. And I suppose just get in touch with the authorities if you see your neighbor has a dog that looks rather strange, which has a sun bear sort of crest around its neck.
Yeah. People who confuse dogs with bears, I'm not sure how that goes. But if your neighbor has a bear and calls it a dog, I would still report it to the wildlife crime hotline or to the wildlife authorities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I mean, what do you want people to understand about this illegal trade in bear parts, you know, this exotic pet trade, you know, what would you like people to understand about how it impacts our biodiversity and how it impacts, you know, nature in general?
Well, any trade in bear parts or products or in live bears for pets, it's just not acceptable. And everyone has to become aware of that. The trade, whether it's a manufactured product from a bear farm or it's a bear paw cut off of a bear that's been killed in the forest, that trade that is driving these species towards extinction. You buying bear parts is fueling poaching. It's fueling people going out and committing crimes and killing a species of animal that is already highly threatened and is going to disappear if this trade continues. We need the public support in ending this trade. Stop buying bear products and report anyone you see selling bear products. Educate yourself about the trade in bears and other threatened wildlife and educate people around you. I often hear people say, well, there's nothing I can do. There's always something you can do. Educate yourself, educate other people, get involved, volunteer with a conservation organization, support a conservation organization with a small donation, report wildlife crime, make people aware of the wildlife crime hotline, and definitely don't support shops or restaurants that sell products. Even if you're going to those shops and buying something that isn't illegal, if they're selling illegal products, don't go to that shop. We have a number of publications on the bear trade in the pipeline right now. We'll be publishing reports on the bear trade in Indonesia and Malaysia in the near future. And hopefully people will pick these up and find these online and read them and learn more about this trade and what they can do about it.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Chris. That was Dr. Chris Shepherd, the founder of the Monitor Conservation Research Society, or Monitor for short, talking about the illegal wildlife trade. If you'd like to find out more about their work, do head to their website at mcrsociety.org. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.